Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Hope you're doing well. 24 hours from now, you'll be down in the rail yard getting amped for Nebraska-Michigan State. Will it replicate what happened back in 2014? I don't know, but I expect it to be packed. I expect PBA to be rocking, and I expect a tremendous performance from Nebraska basketball against one of the best. Listen, man, we can butter Michigan State up all we want and talk about how incredible they are and how deep and talented they are and what they do on offense and defense. All of that is true. And they maul people on the road. They thrive in environments like what will be in front of them tomorrow night. I don't know, man. Tim Miles, in some big home games, historically speaking, I mean, he's good. This team is good. This team is different at home, and their home court advantage is amongst that of unlike many other teams in the country. It's not Duke, obviously. It's not Carolina. It's not Blue Bloods, but man, Nebraska basketball's home court advantage is special because it's different, too. It's different than, and Memorial Stadium's awesome, right? But Memorial Stadium, you've been waiting for a while to cheer for something. You finally got it back. And in basketball, it can get a little more venomous, right? You have the tone.
It's more personal.
And the atmosphere of the Creighton game where, man, you wanted to beat those guys in blue. And I think PBA's got a little attitude, a little swag. And it's good to have Nebraska with this opportunity, kind of riding the ship, a little momentum in favor. And they're going to have to play dynamite basketball, and that defense is going to have to be incredible. We'll get into Nebraska-Michigan State. We'll check in with Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity, in an hour. A lot of NFL, man. It is something important this weekend with the AFC and NFC championship games. You'll hear both of those games on many of our Hail Varsity Radio affiliates. 10-year NFL vet, and he's played in some NFC championship games himself. Ralph Brown will be with us in about 15 minutes. We'll get Ralph's take on Noah Pola-Gates as well, what he thinks of the talented quarterback that will make his call this weekend. Shuey should be in. He may be given a lesson. Doubtful it's outside. He's tough enough to do it, but I don't know. So Tiger is going to be at the State Farm Classic coming up here this weekend, or next weekend, I think. But the point is Tiger is going to be back in action, so we'll talk a little golf with Shuey. But Shuey's a huge basketball fan, so we'll get Mike Shuhart's take on Nebraska basketball. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in, can join us, can follow us, and do so on Twitter. Tweet at us at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Okay, Tim Miles today. Met with the media. Good stuff from Derek Peterson and Jacob Padilla to come on HailVarsity.com. But here's kind of the layout of what is coming in tomorrow night with Michigan State. Man, the opportunity to get one of those big game pelts, it is so, so important to get those at home. You got to be competitive on the road and steal a couple here and there. Nebraska was really competitive and downright dominant against Indiana. Can you carry that over? Sparty's a whole different beast.
I watched Michigan State. They're a terrific team. Obviously, Tom Izzo's Hall of Fame coach, legendary for getting his teams to play with such great aggressiveness and physicality. Their transition is really good. Their passing is really, really good. And then, of course, that physicality part on the on defense and rebounding, really kind of unparalleled. You don't see it to the level. And, you know, they lost Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, who were phenomenal players. And they've got plenty of talent behind them.
They reload and don't blink. They have eight dudes that rotate in. Two of their studs are hurt. Doesn't matter. They've got other guys that can give them 17 minutes. They are fast and crisp on offense, 85.5 a game. They are suffocating on defense. They shoot it. They drive it. They finish it. They box out. They are physical. They are fast. They are your complementary basketball team. We talk about complementary football. They are the embodiment. Michigan's phenomenal, too. So, you know, Nebraska's got a trip up to Ann Arbor. But first things first, you have Sparty coming in. Who's going to be the biggest key tomorrow night? I mean, it's obviously Cassius Winston for Michigan State. He is phenomenal. He's great. And he's been there 75 years. Right? Time to graduate, dude. But he leads them in scoring. He's an assist machine. He's a good defender. He is a leader that will slap freshmen or sophomores or seniors if need be. Seen it all, done it all. So he's key. Can Nebraska make him have a bad night? Michigan State's got other options, of course, to go to. But he is the straw. He is the straw that stirs your Morgan and Coke. He's phenomenal. Who for Nebraska's got to be big tomorrow night? Right? You go back to No Sit Sunday, you go back to that game against Wisconsin, you go back to what it meant. Nebraska was rolling along and needed a big game win against a top two or three seed. Frank the Tank and company rolls in No Sit Sunday. They get it impressively with some flair. And they were on fire that day. It was incredible. They lived up and delivered in the moment. I think this team can do it. They did it a lot last year because they had zero failure opportunities a year ago. They didn't get in, but down the stretch, they were great closing, weren't they? They stubbed their toe against Illinois. I get it. But for the most part, they closed last year. They just didn't get in. This year, they have shaken the cobwebs a bit. They're confident again. They're a whole new confident after kind of riding the ship and getting back on the winning track. And they're ultra, ultra confident when they're playing at home against PBA. Man, it's so easy to go James Palmer Jr., isn't it? You know, Izzo's got like eight guys in green that'll be on the court at the same time defending James Palmer Jr. James had to adjust. James has adjusted, at least based on the Indiana game. He's got dudes waiting for him in the lane. What's he do? He's distributing. Is tomorrow night a big-time Glenn Watson moment? He's the senior. He's going to be matched up on Winston. He has been the guy that kind of came to life, made some plays against Penn State. He's the guy that came to life and really hit some monster shots on the road against Indiana. Roby, do you bet on it? He's phenomenal. He's been playing good ball. Does he keep that up against a physical team that's as athletic as him? I don't know, man. Cope, does he go off Walt Pitchford style against Sparty? Or that road win they had? I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty key when you look at the efficiency numbers. How efficient is Glenn Watson? How efficient is Winston? The winner from an efficiency battle is going to say a lot to who wins tomorrow night. I think it's going to be Glenn. James is a freak that can get his own shot. Cope's tremendous. But again, from a matchup standpoint, the matchups against an Indiana are more favorable for a Roby and Cope versus what Sparty's got down in the paint. Dare I say, Glenn Watson is going to be your key tomorrow night. You know what's cool? Is we're talking about, like, there's five candidates to go into versus the last 3 years we've always talked about Glenn. it's kind of back on him. He doesn't have to go for 18, but if he gives you a 5-for-7 with a couple of trays, plays good defense, stays out of foul trouble, and keeps Michigan State from doing what they want to do on offense, that's how I envision it.
Yeah, I was going to narrow it down to Glenn Watson and Roby because most
Roby's
nights...
Roby's been playing so well.
Yeah, most nights you're going to assume Copeland and Palmer are going to do their thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And they kind of have to.
Right, exactly. That's the only way you're going to be in this game. So then it comes down to who's going to be that extra X factor to really get you over that hump. And I'm debating between Roby and Watson, but I think I'd have to lean toward Roby because a lot of the times, if Watson is slacking a little bit more and Nebraska's in it, that's because Palmer is just dominating or someone else is picking up that slack form. Whereas with Roby, you need that one single big man to really just do it on both ends of the floor. Like you said, there's more of a favorable matchup for Roby against Indiana, and they're especially going to need it against Michigan State. They're going to need to rebound the crap out of Michigan State to hang in that game tomorrow, and there's no question about that. If Copeland's not putting forth the effort like we've seen before on the boards, then Roby's really going to need to box out and also put up some points, too. You're going to need Roby to get a double-double in points and on boards, I think.
Sure. No, all hands on deck. Totally get it. Totally get it. I just think when it comes to just tempo and pacing and leadership and making the right plays, taking the right shots, making the extra pass, I got to see that Nebraska basketball team again tomorrow night. Like mm-hmm. you saw against Indiana, like they showed you against Kansas
right.
a year ago, like they showed you against Michigan. You know how much they moved the ball, passed it around, took an open three, pump fake, shot fake, drove to the rim, dished off down low. This team, when they decide to not settle, is incredible. Now, they're going to be facing a defensive opponent that is killer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part, man. How many teams, home or on the road, more so at home, teams don't shoot well at home against Michigan State. They're coming to your gym. I mean, they're like the friend that stays a week too long. They think it's their place. So, pretty cool streak. I mean, Sparty has won 18 straight on the road, looking at 19 straight. And Nebraska has cranked out 20 straight wins. I mean, those are two monster streaks. That's super impressive for Nebraska. Switch gears, spend a minute here on some college football. Jalen Hurts, surprise, Oklahoma. We thought he may be heading to Maryland. Loxley is offensive coordinator, is now the head Terp. Jalen Hurts going to go to Oklahoma, play for Lincoln Riley. How does that grab you? Because you're losing Kyler Murray. You just had Baker Mayfield. And I love what type of leader and character Jalen Hurts has. I like what he can do as a runner. I don't see OU. I see more of Murray and Baker as guys that can scramble. They're not run-first guys. To me, I look at Jalen Hurts as a run-first quarterback. There's throws in the offense that aren't extremely difficult to make in this OU offense. Hurts is a winner, 26-2. Hurts is a great teammate, so I'm not worried about what type of dude you're getting at quarterback. OU's got some sick talent around him, so it may be okay. But does OU and Lincoln Riley shift to more of a zone read game to complement throwing? Or are you going to ask him to make the same throws and be as good throwing the football as what you just had with Kyler Murray? I think that's a big ask. This is a great pickup. I mean, it kind of guarantees OU's going to be at least 10 wins again. It'll come down to them in Texas one more time.
Mm-hmm.
So the rich get richer, but does this fit work offensively?
I think it will. I mean, we've seen that Jalen Hurts can do it. We've seen it in the past. There's no doubt about that. Led Alabama to the national championship, beat Georgia, and kept them in the national championship this past year. I was telling you before the show, when I saw the list of potential candidates, I actually picked Oklahoma just out loud. I was like, this would make the most sense. I mean, Lincoln Riley's been proven to be successful. He's staying there now. He's developed Baker and Kyler. Why wouldn't Jalen Hurts go there? But then again, Maryland was the favorite this morning before it was announced, and that would have been interesting to see him come in the Big Ten. But I'm actually I mean, obviously, I'm not a fan of Oklahoma, but I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited to see how he can thrive in that offense. And like he said, man, the rich just keep getting richer. It's just, it seems like a great time to be an Oklahoma Sooner fan at this point.
Well, there's not many here. We love us some Dean Blevins, but OU, OU and fan in Nebraska. I mean, hey, it's been a good offseason for Oklahoma, man. They get Alex Grinch to run the defense.
Yeah, let's see how they can improve that, and then we'll
now you get Jalen Hurts.
How excited they can be.
And I'm not saying that Lincoln Riley's pigeonholed into this air raid system. He's just had two quarterbacks that have been guys that have transferred. I mean, you had Kyler transfer, and you have, of course, Baker, who transferred from Texas Tech. So, and A&M was where Kyler came from, kind of that spread air raid. I mean, Sumlin's part of the Leach coaching tree, as is Lincoln Riley. So it'll work. We'll see if it can work as well as it has. But you got a winner that can make some plays with his legs. Maybe there'll be a little bit more of a green light to do that in the Sooner offense. Off and running on a Wednesday. Husker Hoops. And we'll get into some NFL with a Husker standout, a Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet. Excited to talk with Ralph Brown. Can give us a tweet at @Schmidt_radio, @DannyBurke5, @HaleVarsity. And send emails, Chris@HaleVarsity.com. Ralph Brown's next Hale Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to it. It's Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some NFL and some Husker football. 10-year NFL vet, member of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. You follow him on Twitter @RalphDBrown. Ralph Brown back with us. Ralph, how's your new year, man?
My new year is great. Everything's been good. It's raining out here. We have expected four straight days of rain out here in Cali, so that should be fun.
Well, we can trade. I always give you a weather update because I know you miss it. It's 27 and cold, and you got a little rain. We can do the old switcheroo, and I'll wear a poncho.
You can keep that cold frigid air. California people don't know how to drive in the rain, especially when it's like all day long or back-to-back days.
That's the rumor, man. I've been to L.A. once, and it was sunny and awesome over Christmas. So, no rain that I ever saw in California. I'll take your word for it. I want to, before we get into some NFL and the championship weekend, Ralph, what's it like, man? You had a chance to go to two Super Bowls and also be a part of a couple of championship games. Just your experience, were you able to treat the game before the Super Bowl like any other game? Were you able to keep your emotions in check, or did you get all hyped up for it?
Well, I was really excited just for that game because I know you have to focus on that game. There's no guarantee you're going to move forward and go and play in the Super Bowl. So it was easy for me because I've been on championship teams, consecutive ones, since I was 10 years old. So I was used to playing in the big game and how to prep for it. So once you have the opportunity to play in the NFC Championship game, all you tell your teammates is, hey, look, let's make sure we take advantage of this full week. We can't get this week back no matter what happens. So make sure you do your job, and hopefully the results will be us celebrating an AFC or NFC championship game and heading to the Super Bowl.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet. You've got a great entree this Sunday with the Chiefs and New England, and you have the Rams and the Saints. Let's head out to La La Land, and the Rams showed me something. Sue and company were just fabulous against the run, against Dallas, and enough offense. The 1-2 punch at running back with C.J. Anderson and, of course, Gurley. How do you think the Rams are momentum-wise right now as they head down to the Big Easy? That was a track meet the last time those two teams played in the Dome.
Well, I think they're in the perfect position. A lot of times you have to go back to the season prior where people can learn and take their lumps. And they took their lumps last year when they lost to a more experienced team, somebody who had been in the Super Bowl, which was the Falcons. They ended up getting exposed in that game. Now you carry that momentum and carry those memories into this season, and then you get into the playoffs, and now you know how to coach. Everyone knows how to prepare better. And you saw a team last weekend that was hungry. Everyone established their ground in their positions. The defensive line did a great job. The secondary did their job. And as Coach McVay coached, you can tell he was more prepared, more experienced, and he knew what to expect in that playoff game. So you're looking at a team that's playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they're excited to play the New Orleans Saints this weekend as well.
That's a pretty good combination. A motivated Ndamukong Suh, would you say?
Yeah, that's he's one of the best. So being motivated, that defensive line, him with Aaron Donald, they shut it down and you know, shut down that rushing attack from the Cowboys last week, and that was great.
What do you think of the corners for the Rams? I mean, on paper and when it comes to Pro Bowl time, Peters and Tlaib have been great. Tlaib's been a champion, and he's been a massive puzzle piece to different teams, right? And he's a champion, so he has that experience. Peters may be the best athlete corner in the NFL. He likes to yap a bit, but do you worry about those guys against the Saints and Breeze?
Well, not at all. I think last time they played, Aqib Talib wasn't out there, and then you leave Marcus Peters, who had the matchup against the best wide receiver, arguably, in the NFL, and Michael Thomas. When you have that, a corner in Marcus Peters who's not used to Michael Thomas, somebody who's hungry, and that system, you will get exposed, and Marcus Peters got exposed a lot in the last matchup. You add in Aqib Talib, now it balances out the secondary. You can't really pick on people. There's certain things that you can do schematically with matching up and doubling Michael Thomas and try to take him out and some of these other wide receivers they have on the offensive side of the ball. I think you'll see a total different story on the back end with the Rams, but also the Saints offense has been sputtering the last month. They haven't been putting up those big numbers like they have been. So I expect to see a better defense, a better secondary from the Rams, and we'll see if the Saints can turn it around with their offense, putting more points on the board.
Is Kamara the X factor? I mean, will New Orleans try and get him on a safety or a linebacker? That's not groundbreaking, but it is a matchup advantage.
Well, you have to. You have to get Kamara on those linebackers and safeties, get him out in space and utilize him properly like they do in the past game, out in screens, and then it exposes your linebackers and safeties to where you can throw the ball to Kamara, who's basically a wide receiver and a running back combination, and he's just sensational. But he's the key, that rushing attack, that run game with Kamara, how you use him, and if Michael Thomas can get away from or take advantage of any of the corners, which I think is going to be tough in this game on Sunday.
When you hear about Zach Taylor and likely to be the Cincinnati head coach, what's your reaction? It was not that long ago he was taking snaps at Nebraska.
Well, I think if you do your job and you carry yourself professionally, you carry yourself as a, you know, presidentially and someone who seems like they can lead and someone who is accountable and does their job, I think you start working your way up. And you look at all these offenses, the explosion of having a head coach that can support or be offensive, you know, minded, I think that's what's going on right now. And you look at the top four offenses in the NFL this year, it's the top four teams that are playing that are up last in the playoffs. So that's going to be a new trend. Zach Taylor, hopefully he gets that job because he's earned and deserved what he can do, and he proved it. So that'll be amazing. I just like this surge what the NFL is doing, and I don't think they're wrong for going after all these offensive minds because the top four offenses are the top four teams left in the playoffs right now.
Ralph Brown's with us, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, let's talk New England and Kansas City. The world wants New England out. They refuse. They smacked the Chargers something fierce. And,
yes.
And waiting is Kansas City. It is going to be, well, like one of those snow globes you saw when you were a kid. You turn it upside down, it's going to be snowing and cold. And Bill Belichick today really didn't want to talk about the weather forecast. He didn't care. He was pretty funny, actually, in his Belichick way. What advantage do you give to on Sunday night? Do you give it to Kansas City at home, or are you hesitant to count out Brady and that Belichick D?
Oh, I got to go with the home team just because of Mahomes. It's not Phillip Rivers. You're not going to be able to blitz him. He has a quick release. He can work outside the pocket. He's very smart. He's advanced. He's, you know, one of the top-minded and athletic and quick-trigger quarterbacks in the NFL. And playing in Kansas City with that loud fan base, arguably the loudest next to the Seahawks, I got to give the advantage to the Chiefs. Their defense played sensational against the Colts last weekend as well. And I think they're ready because most of the people are probably saying, hey, you guys can't beat the Patriots. They beat you last time 43-40. Tom Brady, the GOAT, is coming into town. And what Belichick knows how to scheme on defense and offensively, that's tough. But I give the edge to the Chiefs in this matchup.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You played in this weather, or you played in inclement weather, and how big a disadvantage is it for a defense in bad weather, in snow, in wind, in wet conditions?
I don't think it's a disadvantage. I think the disadvantage is when you don't know how to put in or implement a good game plan for your defenders in certain situations and inclement conditions when it's cold, or how you're rushing in or attacking the rushing attack on the defensive side of the ball. I think the weather can affect you in a bad way if you're not making plays. If you're not making plays or being put in good positions, that weather is going to affect you mentally, and you're not going to want to be out there and make tackles and make more plays because your defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator is not putting a good game plan together on the field for you.
I know you guys weren't allowed to wear sleeves at Nebraska. Did you wear sleeves in the NFL when it got below 20?
Of course I did. And not all games. Some games, when I played in Minnesota, we went up to Green Bay and we played in the playoffs. I had to play Brett Favre, and we all said, hey, look, it's going to be about 20 degrees, you know, 18, somewhere 15 to 20 degrees. None of us wore sleeves, and we were out there because it was get back. We wanted to make sure we got the Packers back from them beating us prior in the season. In that game, we ended up winning the game, and that's what I think a lot of teammates do. Sometimes in that inclement weather, they all want to wear sleeves, and then sometimes all guys say, hey, look, we're going to go there. We're not going to think about the weather, no sleeves for anybody, and we're just going to go out there and play some football.
Ralph, want to talk Nebraska for a minute. Noah Pola-Gates is a highly touted defensive back. He'll make his announcement this weekend. Many recruiting insiders predicting he'll go to Nebraska. High four-star kid, a corner that is out of the Arizona, Gilbert, Arizona region. Just a quick overview. What's kind of your thoughts on what you know about Gates and what his abilities could bring to Frost's defense?
Well, he's just a natural athlete out there. He plays safety and he plays wide receiver and cornerback as well. But the thing that I love about him, he's balanced and very confident. But when he gets an INT, he knows what to do with it. He takes them back to the house, and that's the type of player that Shenander needs on the defensive side of the ball. And he'll be a great addition if Coach Frost and Shenander can get a player like him, one of the top, you know, DBs in the country. And he's the one that can change your secondary to where you don't have to worry about him on the outside matching up with the top flight wide receivers of the opposing teams. He's that type of player that Nebraska can use and need if they want to keep advancing and building their team to that championship level that they want.
Ralph Brown's with us, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, we got a couple of minutes left. We always talk some food. So what's the best thing you ate over the holidays?
Oh, man, the best thing I ate over the holidays. I had so many different types of meals, to Mexican foods, to Mexican soups, to just turkey dinners and things of that nature. The best thing that I've eaten, I got to just go back to, you know, just the homemade turkey and macaroni and stuff like that. It was nothing special, just the same old traditional things. I haven't done anything special this year, starting the year off with specific foods, but just the turkeys and the mashed potatoes and the macaroni and cheese and meats and stuff and yams. That's what's been sensational and amazing for me this year.
All right. Well, what's your special trick with the mac and cheese then? How do you do it?
I like all my food to mesh together on the plate.
So
they start
so
off organizing their own quadrant. And then they eventually just mesh together.
My cousins do that too, man. They just green bean casserole. You've got the macaroni and cheese, and then you'll have a little mashed potatoes and gravy, and then they're all fighting, right? They're just piling on. It's a mosh pit.
Yeah, it is. It initially on my plate, it starts off like, hey, you stay in your corner. You stay over there. Hey, don't touch me. As soon as I start eating, it's a party. Everybody gets to join and mesh together and get into my tummy.
I like that. Ralph Brown, some NFL preview for us and thoughts on some Nebraska recruits at Ralph D. Brown's, where you follow him on Twitter. Ralph, always fun catching up, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of fun.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Kent emails in, says Ward is the key. I like, yeah, Ward's money for Michigan State. He's big time. But I think it's Mr. Winston. It's got to be Glenn. We'll see. I'm sure Friday I'll hear about it if I'm wrong from Kent. Can always email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Danny the Pride of Chicago did his hair today, and it looks marvelous. He is weirded out by that. We say hi to Mike Shuhart. Shuey's in. Shuey, you're bundled up. I like you have – my wife gives me garbage about the number of three-quarter zip-ups I have. Like, you know, she'll be – she works 3 days a week. She thinks I work 2 hours a day, so we barb each other that way. And she – oh, big day. It's another quarter zip day, you know, as I'm walking – to leave for work. And but my man, you rocked the quarter zips like no.
Every
you
day have a, is a quarter they, zip
it
day
is
for me,
it's a
man.
Good day
every day.
It's a good day. It's a good day to see Mike Shuhart. Go see him at Wilderness Ridge. Get your swing fixed, get your putting fixed. We love Shuey. Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for thawing out and coming up.
I know, not very nice out.
No, it's not. We Danny and I both agreed that you're tough enough to be out in these elements helping someone with their swing if they asked.
Oh, yeah. I gave a lesson right before I came over here.
I thought you did.
I did.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Snowshoes and all?
Now, whether they're tough enough, that's a little different story.
It's all right. It's all about
but
mentality.
I make them suffer through it.
It's good. We'll get to some golf. Tiger Woods going to be back at it.
Yeah.
We'll get your thoughts on Tiger in 2019. I want to start with basketball, man. You're a huge Nebraska basketball guy. Mm-hmm. How you feeling about tomorrow night?
Like it.
You love it, don't you?
I love it, man.
You going?
No. I'll be watching it on TV.
All right. Screaming I can sell you
stuff.
A couple of seats.
No, that's good. My wife doesn't let me out in public at those because I can't control myself.
Okay, so you're like intense.
Oh, scream, yeah.
Okay, so I get that way too. Danny can corroborate.
And I tell myself every time, nope, not going to do it. Nah.
So when's the last basketball game you went to?
We went earlier in the year. Who'd we go see? It was right before we.
Creighton?
No, we didn't go to that one. We went to the
too intense.
Yeah, way too intense.
So you put yourself in a timeout pretty much, and
yeah,
just say it's couch and big screen.
Yeah, my wife won't go with me anymore.
Okay, yeah. But I love your passion.
When McDermott played for Creighton, we went to that game, and there were some Creighton fans that were sitting next to us.
Did you give me a piece of your mind?
Yeah, we got in a little bit of a
really.
Oh yeah.
I need to hear this, like
bad.
The PG version, of course. What happened?
They were just dogging, and I started dogging them back. And
how did you respond to them?
Not nicely, but the problem was McDermott just kept scoring. So
well, he went
like,
for 40,
yeah, I know,
he's player
like,
of the year.
Yeah,
it happens.
We got to go to a game with Shuey. I need to see this other side of him that we don't get to see here in the studio.
We need to get you out on the course with me. And get lessons.
Exactly. I remember Shuey told the story, too, about when your wife was caddying for you and you were going to like, keep it up, I'll put a divot in your head or something like that.
Yeah. She's the one that ought to be on here, man. She'll tell you some stories, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want that.
The Shuey and Mrs. Shuey set next week with Hale Varsity. Okay, so you gave it back to Creighton fans. Tomorrow, though, what do you think happens, man? What do you think Nebraska wins? Why? And what are some things dancing through your mind as to why you're confident?
I do think they'll win. Man, they're just over the years, they play a great game, man. They beat somebody that they shouldn't beat, you know, especially playing at home. I mean, Michigan last year, you know, Kansas, they just, and I think this is that kind of setup for that type of situation.
Remember the year they started out 3-0 in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
they went 3-15.
Yeah,
where they get Indiana. This is 2016 we're talking about. They squeak by Maryland. Ty Webster, phenomenal finish.
Yeah,
and then they freaking drill like Elite Eight Purdue.
Yeah,
they
out of nowhere.
They've got Haas and Biggie.
Yeah,
both those dudes for Purdue. Nebraska out-rebounds Purdue and smokes Purdue.
Yeah.
Like, just dismantles them out of nowhere.
Which is like, how did that happen? There was no way
Where was that? And you're 3-0, and you're like, okay, this team can get fixed, and then
the environment down there is going to be crazy.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, and they just – it helps them feed off of that. And it's like, man, it's why you play That's why you come to Nebraska to play games like this, you know?
And win, and you have won. We'll be down in the public market area, of course, set up for a Hail Varsity Roadshow Thursday. And then the Real Red Tip-Off, myself, Danny Burke, from 6 to 6:30. So an extended show tomorrow, getting you ready. We'll have Papa Shot down there, right across from the popcorn stand.
Nice.
Yeah, seriously, just stroll down. And
fire up a few Papa Shots.
Do some Papa Shots. We can watch. Yeah. Mama and Junior are going. She didn't get a third seat for me.
You must be like me, man. They kicked you out.
They question whether or not to sit with me.
Exactly.
I don't get that cranked up about football anymore. And I know, like, you separate your talk show hat and your fan hat and your being objective hat, or being overly critical, or being an angry, pukey fan. I won't do that. Okay, but just like if I'm sitting at home watching, man, I mean, I turn into Danny Burke watching the Bears.
Yeah, me too. I can't help myself, but I think we want them to succeed so badly, and they can. I mean,
if you feel it, you want them to succeed because of what they have.
Exactly.
This doesn't come along every year.
No, I mean, they're super talented, great bunch of kids, fun to watch, you know. So it's like, you know, anybody that's you got great kids, and you want them to succeed in the worst way, you know. So it's like every time they don't, it kind of tears your heart out a little bit, you know. So
what needs to happen tomorrow night? Give me some numbers.
Glenn's got to stay out of foul trouble.
Mm-hmm. Is he the key to you?
Him and the bench.
Okay. You know that they're invisible.
They got to get
aside from the mayor of Gothenburg.
Can they get 15 points out of their bench?
You're saying 15 bench points?
Yeah.
Sparty has 8 guys that play 17 minutes or more.
You got 4 guys that are come off the bench, right?
You got Nana. You got Borkart.
He needs to hit
you
a
got
couple.
Brady.
He needs to hit a couple threes.
And then you got Amir. There's your 4.
And Amir is going to have to spell
one of the guards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What do you get from Roby?
And then Roby's just a mismatch because it's like he can't. Who's going to guard Ward?
Well,
nobody can.
That's by committee.
Yeah, that is. That's why your bench has got to be. They got to come in and play some D.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get some rebounds. And if they can at least.
I love what Borkart's done. Give me him down low.
Yeah.
In massive minutes.
You know, Ward's just he's a mismatch, hard mismatch. I mean, he's tall, strong, athletic.
Can shoot.
And Roby's going to have a hard time with him. So it's like you're going to need those other guys to play some minutes on him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And can you get some rebounds? You know, that's the thing. They just can't get killed on the boards. You know, if they can. Some of that's a little luck, depending on how shots come off.
I would bet my house and Danny's summer home in Lake Whatever, Wisconsin, that Nebraska doesn't win the rebounding battle tomorrow night. But
I think so.
They can keep it close. They can keep it respectable.
That's one of the things
they can't
have
21 offensive rebounds like Penn State had.
Yeah, because if Ward, man, is down there offensive rebounding, he's going to put it back. So it's like he's going to go for a lot of points, but that's okay. He can't beat you by himself.
No, I think Winston's the guy that is going to score it and going to find Ward. Got to shut him down or at least keep him off balance. We'll spend a few more minutes on Michigan State, Nebraska. Mike Shewhart is here. We'll talk Tiger and the PGA next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, it's Brandon Vogel. We'll have comments from Tim Miles at 5:25. And Mike Shewhart is in studio. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We're talking Nebraska. Is this game make or break? Nebraska has plenty of opportunity. They play Michigan State again. They have Michigan. Maryland comes to town. They're playing great ball. Iowa's coming to town. So there's ample opportunity. Wisconsin's teetering a bit, but they're still kind of a big win.
Yeah.
They're a top 50 opponent. But, man, this thing could launch you.
It could. That's
right?
Yeah.
I mean, this could launch you, be a 3-game win streak.
Yeah.
It would turn out to have those early in-conference missteps being pencil versus ink.
Exactly.
And this is a top 6 win.
Yeah. A key game. Really key. You know, if they can pull this off. I mean, it just will jumpstart them confidence-wise, just set them up to.
I think they're feeling great. As good as they looked for most of the game, against Indiana. I think they're feeling confident. That's what I'm saying. Say you lose a tough. It's one thing. I guess it's how you win or lose, right? If you if you lose a tough one, or you lose by 10 with some free throws at the end, but man, you were kind of right there. All right, if you go get just punished by a team that is Final Four good,
yeah,
then I hope you realize that moving forward versus letting it beat you twice or three times.
I just like where they're at. You know, big win at Indiana. You know, they're feeling confident. Coming back home, they feel even more energized at home. You know, they got a 20-win home winning streak going, you know.
Sparty's won 19 in a row on the road.
So they feeling pretty confident coming home that they're pretty good at home, you know. So there's just a lot of good things in their favor. So if they can just, you know, if they can just play like they're capable of playing, man, it's going to be a good game no matter what.
Do you worry about them reverting to quick shot, very little passing, lots of ball sticking?
Yeah.
Just do you worry about them coming back to that? In some of the big games, they have played great offensively with this roster.
Yeah.
They've done, like, I'm thinking Kansas and Michigan last year, they were so good with
moving the ball.
Moving the ball, passing, driving, kicking, in rhythm threes, great defense. So they've shown the ability to stay within themselves and not get too excited.
Yeah, and sometimes, but at the same time, sometimes they fall into that little too quick of a three.
Well, and it all went perfect against Creighton. I mean, they it was heat check second half, man. Yeah. Everyone was, I mean, JPJ was just launching and they were going.
I mean, if they play like that, man, they're hard to beat by anybody.
Anybody,
you know, but they don't play that way all the time, you know. So it's like you got to like Tim said, you know, you got to be able to hit your threes or shoot your threes at the appropriate times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's like even if you're open right there, you got a wide open look, is that really an appropriate time?
Yep.
I mean, can you work the ball and then get that same shot again? Too many times they don't quite do that. They just take it.
Just be patient.
Yeah.
We're supposed to talk a little golf, so I want to talk about 30 seconds worth of golf. Forgive me. Hang out. Please stay.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Woods going to State Farm. And we'll be doing that. And did you tell me during the break that he's already the favorite to win the Masters in 19?
I think I saw that somewhere that he's like with the favors. That's pretty impressive. So
first event, how do you think it shakes out? We can talk more next week, but
Typically, if Tiger's back to kind of where he finished the season, you know, he doesn't take much time off. Mm. I mean, he's worked on his game and worked. So I highly anticipate him playing pretty good.
Okay.
You know, so. And it's exciting. Anytime Tiger's in the field, man, everybody wants to see.
Hell,
is Tiger back? How's Tiger playing? This and that.
Like Pinehurst. So.
You know, and if he has a really good tournament, that'll even amp up the excitement.
It will. That's Mike Shewhart, Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Hour 2, Brandon Vogel coming up with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We will hear from Tim Miles coming up here in 15 minutes. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Mike Shewhart, Shuey's hanging out. We say hi to Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, author of Dream Like a Champion with Coach John Cook. And Brandon Vogel grew up loving him some Nebraska basketball. Vogues, how excited for tomorrow night are you?
It's gonna be a pretty big one, you know. Once Nebraska got through the game against Indiana, a good win that came at the right time. It wasn't long before people's memories started turning to no-sit Sunday. So that's a pretty high bar to hit, a pretty unique set of circumstances. But you've got a good Nebraska team that you know, kind of stumbled a couple times, at least early in Big Ten play, and one of the Big Ten's traditional best coming in, and you get it at home and at night in Lincoln. So I think it should be pretty fun come Thursday.
What Big Eight team did you like just loathe? You and I are around the same age. We grew up in the Big Eight and the Big 12, and I'd go and my brother would go and we'd have to take turns and sit in section B, and it was phenomenal. It was great. And I know you grew up out in Western Nebraska, but you'd make your way once or twice a year to the Devaney Center, and you'd park on those god-awful gravel parking lots. You'd wait for seven trains, and then you'd find your way in. You'd smell popcorn. It'd all be okay. What team did you just love to beat when you were a Nebraska fan?
Yes, that's a good question. I think Kansas is probably the popular answer there, especially on the basketball side, of course. But I think Missouri kind of always held the mantle, and you know that was one that bridged the seasons between football and basketball. Particularly on the basketball side, where things are certainly a lot more competitive. In fact, a lot of the times Missouri had kind of the upper hand on Nebraska, at least coming in. So that was probably the pick there. And you know, residual football feelings for Oklahoma never hurt when those two teams met either.
You know, beating Norm Stewart was fun, and he had Anthony Peeler. And yep. Anthony Peeler was such an a-hole, and he would just make you cry until Eric Strickland went for 35 as a freshman. It was sweet. Billy Sims. That would have been funny. Billy Tubbs, the comb-over coach for OU with Stacey King and Harvey Grant. And I mean, those guys, they came in, man, and it was on. I mean, you hated Oklahoma basketball. You can kind of put up with Switzer and the tacos, and I mean, he was a character, but OU basketball ticked you off. And Roy Williams always looked, I mean, I know it's not good to have a tear tattooed by your eye. That means you've killed somebody in prison. But Roy always looked like he had tears ready, you know, droopy dog. Roy was always the aw shucks Carolina guy that's winning at Kansas, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty good description of Roy Williams. Even to the day when he went back home and took over the program that you know he probably always dreamed of. But it's funny because if you had to add it up, the hate between football and basketball, you know, Kansas obviously took the case on the hardwood, but football. Most Nebraska fans never had to worry too much about Kansas. I think Missouri might be the pick.
I think you're right.
Because you hit it on the head with Oklahoma. Yeah, Nebraska football fans hated Oklahoma, but like Switzer in his own weird way, like for some people only ramped that up. But for others, he kind of made it okay. He was pretty entertaining. he was a jerk, and Nebraska fans hated him for that reason. But at the same time, like he made things a little bit more fun.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. We're talking Nebraska basketball as Michigan State rolls in. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Missouri, yeah, I think they do take the cake. Sparty has got history with Nebraska. We'll talk with Bo Reed tomorrow. Bo Reed drilled the game winner against Michigan State to launch Nebraska's greatest season and team ever. This team's trying to take that torch as the greatest team ever. They have a springboard opportunity with Sparty here. How big a game is it for Tim Miles and in his standing with Bill Moose? Bill Moose made the roadie to Bloomington, man. I mean, do you read anything into that?
Not as much as I would have if Nebraska hadn't come out of Bloomington with a win. I think that offers a little bit of breathing room for Nebraska basketball. You know, in some ways, I kind of look at this season with the depth in the Big Ten and as good as the conference is overall. And even though, you know, Nebraska's team is certainly talented, if 1 through 5, you know, if you're looking for a deep tournament run, you might want a little more depth on the bench, but still, like it's expected to be a good team. I think it is a pretty good team most of the time. But even with all of that, like just given the depth of the Big Ten, like it kind of feels like it's going to be hard to be a lot better than 500 in the Big Ten. You know, it just is when you've got sort of teams like Michigan and Michigan State doing what they're doing. So this game, having beaten Indiana, it kind of becomes a, hey, take your biggest swing sort of game, I think, for the Huskers. versus if you'd lost that Indiana game, you're looking at having, you know, lost three out of your last four. You beat Penn State, the team you should have beaten in that group, and it wasn't all that impressive. All of that's gone now because of what happened on Monday night. So you've got a chance for Nebraska to really kind of show how good it can be at its best. I think that's really the opportunity that's presented itself.
What's your early gut tell you?
So I think they'll have a shot. You know, Michigan State's playing really well. Tom Izzo's really good, like sort of rinse and repeat on that front. But anytime you get a chance to bring a team like that in, and you've got a few days for the anticipation to build, like Pinnacle Bank Arena will be a factor in that game. So that'll come down to Nebraska staying in it early. The longer they hang around, the bigger that advantage gets for them, I think. And if you do that, you know, basketball's a game of running streaks. And as you saw against Indiana, when the Hoosiers came out at home and were a little bit lethargic, in my opinion.
You're being very nice about that.
Yeah, didn't shoot very well, and Nebraska jumped on them. So you get that to happen on Thursday night. Nebraska runs out to a quick 8-0 lead at the under 16 timeout right away, and it's game on all of a sudden. And Michigan State's in a fight for the rest of the way.
Brandon Vogel's with us. We're talking Nebraska Sparty as they come to PBA. We'll be down in the rail yard in the public market, 4 to 6:30. Hail Varsity Real Red Tip-Off Show. The Papa Shot. Brandon Vogel is an excellent Papa Shot player. I don't know if I'd favor him over Danny Burke or not, but it would be close. We invite you down to play Papa Shot. Get hydrated. Make some noise for Nebraska and Michigan State. I can't wait for this. Last thought, and we'll get to some football. People can hearken back to No Sit Sunday with Sue in the front row and Frank the Tank's there, and it'll never, ever be replicated. It can be as crazy. It can be loud. You can have a big-name opponent, but just that moment in time will never be repeated, Brandon. That's kind of my take. And Nebraska could win by 11 against Sparty tomorrow night, and it could be another top 5 2-seed pelt on Tim Miles's wall. Great, but that moment in time, as you're just clawing for a berth, when it happened, won't ever be repeated.
Yeah, I would agree. It's tough to do that. You know, the circumstances that kind of combine to make that a possibility. You know, the fact that Nebraska, you know, wasn't really expected to be there, and then all of a sudden this opportunity was before it, last regular season game, you know, all of those things added a lot to that day. And, you know, I think even the newness of sort of Pinnacle Bank Arena and downtown basketball added something to that. You won't have that for a Thursday night game in downtown Lincoln, but I think you might get as close as you can get for something that's happened in January and is during the week. There are expectations for this team. There are reasons to think that Nebraska can succeed against a program like Michigan State. And in a lot of ways, that kind of represents where they're at and where they've come from. So it's definitely a different feel. And like I said, you know, I think Pinnacle Bank Arena, given the opportunity, will be a big factor on Thursday night.
Last thought, too. You have Nebraska that got hot, that was kind of an upstart back in 13-14 that knocked out Goliath. You've got a team that had expectations. They've been ranked. Some have picked them third or fourth in the league. This is a chance to kind of deliver on that, make good on some of that hype.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest difference is you're not coming from nowhere now, you know. And and we've seen when Nebraska has lost, which has still been rare this season overall, sort of the weight of those expectations. And mm-hmm. and that's the big difference between now and No Sit Sunday. So in some ways, I think Nebraska's goal in terms of keeping the crowd into it and using to that advantage is to kind of erase that part of it by coming out and playing really well from the start, because they're gonna need to against a team like Michigan State.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, with football, what's been your take here as the second signing day session looms here? What's been your overview here? Nolopola Gates, you have Mills with his signature, and Nebraska still in the market for some wideouts. How does Nebraska close here moving forward?
So far, so good, I think. I think they've been pretty strong with some of the names that are on the list. You know, they did a good enough job in the early signing period that I think they put themselves in a situation to sort of swing from the heels and go for as big as you can get. Now, the pool of available players is, of course, smaller, but there's still some really good players out there, and I think they're going after them and kind of dreaming big, for lack of a better term, on who they think they can get. And you kind of look at it big picture wise, you know, I think they have a chance to move up in the recruiting rankings from where they're at, which is kind of a traditional Nebraska spot, for lack of a better term. And if they do that coming off a 4-8 season, it's going to be really encouraging, I think, for most fans out there who look at, well, what they can do when they're 8-4, and then someday better beyond that. So all in all, I think recruiting is still trending upwards, even if you look at it in a historical context and feel, well, this is where they usually are.
Vogues, I got 2 minutes here. Take away from Jalen Hurts going to OU, and then I need to hear about the Hail Varsity recruiting issue coming up.
Yeah, a little bit surprised. But, you know, from Jalen Hurts' perspective, I guess it certainly makes sense. You can go there, in all likelihood, put up a ton of numbers, and you're going to a winning program. You know, we'd heard some rumors about Maryland with the Mike Locksley connection, and that one never totally added up for the level that Jalen Hurts won at Alabama and what he was probably used to. You only got a season left to go. Going to Maryland, it would have felt a little like charity work to me, and I'm sure Mike Locksley would have appreciated it, but it would have been a sea change for him. So Oklahoma, you don't have any of those concerns. You know, he can go in there, battle for that job, probably win it, and Oklahoma can be very good again. He's a little bit different than the past two quarterbacks they had. And the problem you run into with them is that, well, the last two guys have won the Heisman. they put up extraordinary numbers, and we'll see if Jalen Hurts is next in line for that, or if there was something to those guys that made that possible.
What's on the newsstands and in the subscription bag with Hail Varsity Magazine? Looks beautiful here on the website.
Yeah, so that went to press this morning, so it should be on newsstands and in mailboxes in the next couple of days. Really took a sort of not just early signing focus, but early enrollees. So Jamie Nance is on the cover. Derek has a great story. Went down to Blanchard, Oklahoma, and spent a couple of days with him. Aaron Sorensen kind of took a unique track on talking to five of the other early enrollees, some of whom are roommates, but all of whom were, she touched base with them on campus before the first day of classes and winter conditioning and all that started. So she really got a unique look at kind of these players on the eve of their new college football careers. Greg Smith talked with Wandale Robinson while he was at the Under Armour All-America game for a great Q&A. So for all of the guys that are there on campus and taking part in winter conditioning right now, they're all in the issue. And I think it comes together as a pretty nice package for what Nebraska is going to be in 2019.
I like it. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Get the issue, 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Bundle it, get the premium online content and the magazine. Vogues, we'll be chatting with you down this weekend. Thanks for the time today, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel. We'll hear from Tim Miles. Hail Varsity continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on. on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for being here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Big thanks to Mike Shewhart, Brandon Vogel, Ralph Brown. We'll hear from Tim Miles in a moment. Something's got to stop that motion. And airbags aren't enough. You want it to be a windshield or a seatbelt that prevents excessive injury if you're in an accident. And the time to slow down is now with that seatbelt. Buckle up, whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. The early line out is Michigan State minus one. We will get Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago's reaction to that in a moment. But here is Tim Miles. We heard his initial take to start the show on Michigan State. And we'll start off with the guy I think's the key for the Nebraska defense, and that is going to be Cassius Winston. Winston is such a big-time player, and here are all the problems he can cause for you offensive and defensively.
He's an elite point guard, not only in our league, but in the country. He's so good in transition, and he makes very good decisions. He's one of those guys that, and he can score. That, I think, not only is he the ultimate teammate, setup guy, quarterback for the team, stands eye to eye with Coach Izzo. You have to commend him on that. But he can score the ball, too. He really shoots it. He knows what the team needs. He's an elite player.
He's elite, man. He's leading him at 17 a contest. He's hitting the three, and then he's getting guys going. He's getting Nick Ward going. He's getting some of those freshmen that come in going. Langford isn't going to play. Ayers, I don't know if he'll go or not with back spasms. Could be fine. Could it doesn't matter. I mean, Michigan State plays eight guys averaging 15 minutes or more a game. Okay, they are deep and they're good. Nebraska will have to kind of embrace this. I laid the line out for you. It's minus one. And Tim Miles asked about that underdog mentality.
Well, I feel like an underdog, so we'll be fine with the underdog mentality. You got to fight these guys. You got to run to the fight. And anything less will get you, I mean this in the most complimentary way, but they are like sharks. If you put a little blood in the water, man, it's over. It's a feeding frenzy.
He's right. He has got to have these guys come in confident, cocky, with some swag, and with a chip on their shoulder. Okay? Nebraska had a chip on their shoulder against Creighton. Okay? That chip got knocked off over time and got whittled down against Minnesota and Maryland and then Iowa. Who the hell knows? They were eating chips, right? It's a little bit back, and it's built back up. You beat Penn State, and then you go get the drill job and knock out Indiana big time. So they are walking tall. They're feeling good, and don't kid yourself. The underdog role is going to be played up, and it's okay to play that card, but you can't let it drastically drain your team if you don't win tomorrow night. Give it all you got, but if you don't win, be able to recover from it. Interesting question about Tim Miles. Nebraska basketball. Husker Hoops fans going to be all over it. And don't forget, we're down in the rail yard in the public market. Real Red Tip-Off Show. Extended Hail Varsity tomorrow. We want to see you down there. Papa Shot will be set up. Show us how good you are in 30, 60, or 90 seconds, outscoring your bro. But with Tim Miles, is this a make or break game for Tim Miles? Because you know that there's expectations with this team. You know this team has looked phenomenal at times, and they've underachieved at times. And this is not going to – there's a lot of season left. I think this game will do a lot for how the rest of the season plays out. Not just at home, but some potential big games on the road, they can go win. From a confidence standpoint, this game could infuse them with even more confidence. They could feel invincible if they get a win like this tomorrow night. And I think they could climb back up to a top five, top four team. Plenty of time, plenty of opportunity. So I think, yeah, you get hot, you get right, you play as good as you can. You don't play below your talent level. Yeah, this game can change the narrative of that question mark with Tim Miles, with a lot of Nebraska fans, and maybe even his own athletic director. You shouldn't knee-jerk off of one game. Don't do that. But it'll say a lot. This game won't doom him either. Shouldn't. No way. But the upside from taking this thing down tomorrow night's key.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily label this as a make-or-break game for Tim Miles, in my opinion, at least. But as for the team and the outlook of the rest of the season, it's huge. I mean, I'm kind of have been at this mentality for Nebraska that every game is the most important game. I mean, that sounds like an old coach is saying
corny. That's how you got to do it.
Right. I mean, with how you missed the tournament last year and how tough the Big Ten is this year, that's really how it is. Every game matters more than the previous. I mean, every game is the most important. But I think Tim Miles, like you've preached this before, fans won't get as mad if Nebraska loses, but if they play it the right way. And this is one of those games where that can happen. Kind of like how it was against Kansas last year. You're pissed they lost, but
man,
you're proud of them.
Wow, you did. You guys were right there against the freaking Jayhawks.
Exactly, and that's the same thing that could happen tomorrow against Michigan State, except this time I think you got most people expecting Nebraska to win, whereas it wasn't
really
the same against Kansas.
Do you expect them to win?
Not most people. I'm saying most Nebraska fans. Maybe not most. Okay. I expect them to win.
I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm serious. Do you really expect them to? I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they should be able to, no doubt.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won tomorrow night at all. But I'm not going to be freaked out if they lose.
Right.
It comes down to how do you win or how do you lose.
I think with how much of an advantage PBA is with the players that are injured for Michigan State, with the win Nebraska just had, I think they should win tomorrow.
Sure. No, I mean, that's fair.
Mm.
They've shown the ability to do that over the last 2 years in big games at PBA. Speaking of, let's talk streaking. Not Will Ferrell wanting some KFC. Let's talk 20 games. Let's talk 18 games for Sparty. I mean, it's impressive here. Cut eight. What's been key to this 20-game streak for Nebraska?
You know, our fans have been really good. You know, I think that the environment and the noise, from game management on the way all the way down to create that energy level, I think is really important. And certainly it's the chicken or the egg. You need a good team, but our fans have been really, really responsive. And I think that that's given the guys confidence. And sometimes maybe when they're a little tired, it's given them a little extra boost of energy. But I think that as you look at this, it was important. We were also 8-8 3 years ago at home. And, you know, coming off that season with last season's team, like one of the things was, listen, we need to find an edge back for Pinnacle Bank Arena and get it where it belongs. And the guys have really responded that. I mean, it's meaningful to this group to play well at home. Now, you want to play well everywhere, but sometimes you have to, you know, some things require extra attention. And defending your home court, I think, was something that we talked about last year and then it's carried over to this year because of the streak.
It's been incredible. And the fans, you are the sixth man, the 12th man, woman and child, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're the difference. Great players, talented teams, but you've provided the energy, the amp. Let's go to Russ real quick. Russ, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to call and let you know this is the first game I'm going to for the men this season. I spent $75 on a ticket for myself and my son for a basketball game. My son is a Michigan State fan like your son is.
My God.
I raised him a Husker. I don't know what I did wrong.
Russ, here's what needs to happen. Just let those two sit together and be miserable together, the two kids.
Yeah. I live here in Lincoln at Capitol Beach. He's driving up from Columbus to go to the game, and all I know is when we came into the Big Ten, Michigan State wouldn't even acknowledge on their board that Nebraska was part of the Big Ten and we went there and kicked their butt. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping for round two tomorrow night. So I am very excited. I think we just need to play well, compete well. If we lose and compete well, then I think we're just fine. If we come out flat, get smoked, then we have a little bit to be upset. But, you know, it's been a great year so far, and where Nebraska basketball used to be to where it is now. Just want to let you know I'm very excited and willing to spend the money to go watch the guys play.
That's awesome. Thanks. Russ, thanks for listening, man. Appreciate you calling. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, we talk about that infamous Nebraska basketball bandwagon, and good for Russ with his boy going together.
I thought he was literally just mocking you.
No, I mean, my wife and son ditched me, and they're going. They've dropped the coin as well. But this is the game you got to go to, man. You got to show out for it. Here is Tim Miles here, cut 11. He's being pretty straight with his guys, just how big this game is. He is building it up. It's why you come play. It's why you want to come go show out.
I think we'll address it because they've probably heard it. You know, it's out there. I heard it. You know what I mean? And I'm probably not online as much as they are, I hope. And when you look at this, I think that if you don't address it, you're just doing it wrong. I think that they need to hear it. I don't think you dwell on it. I just think, hey, this is what the deal is. Something's got to give.
Be straight with them. It's important. It's the biggest game of the week in college basketball, period. You've had ranked teams play each other, but you have, I know Syracuse knocked off Duke.
Yeah, how about that?
But from just like an insane atmosphere, people climbing off the rafters. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be like. Bill Moose made his way to Indiana. Tim Miles was asked about that. And there's not been a lot of vocal commentary by Bill Moose on Tim Miles. There's been a little bit, but not, hey, Tim's doing great this year. Nothing like that. Here's Tim Miles on Bill Moose.
Bill was just like, that was very impressive, very complimentary, and it was great to have him there. It's fun to have. We had a great group of donor group and fans that came in and filled it up, and it's always fun for those guys to get to see, you know, some of these other places and you know, how fun it is to win on the road and stuff like that. And it's very difficult, but it was great to have him there.
Chance for Tim Miles to keep proving you're the guy to his boss. Bill Moose, Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis has his parka on, and you headed to Kansas City, Doc, or are you, you going to stay warm by the fire?
I think I'm going to be doing the fire, but I will be watching those games.
Man, what a NFL playoffs it's been, and you have the AFC and NFC championship games, Rams and Saints, and, of course, the Patriots and Chiefs. And one of the more inspirational players for Kansas City has been Eric Berry. He's overcome so much, overcoming cancer. He has been on the sideline with kind of a rare deformity, Dr. Doug. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been ailing Eric Berry?
Yeah, so Berry has struggled all season, as you know, with starting back in August. And the problem that he has is what most people would say, oh, he must have Achilles tendonitis because he's hurting right at the Achilles attachment onto the heel bone. And you know, in a lot of cases, that would be normal, that would be the reality, that would be the Achilles tendon. But in this situation, what he's got is essentially a bone deformity right at the attachment of the Achilles tendon. We call it a Hagelin's deformity. Some guy named Hagelin got his name put on it, right? The Hagelin's deformity puts pressure against the Achilles tendon and can cause really very disabling pain.
That sounds horrible. Now, it's one thing to get it diagnosed as the Hagelin deformity versus just the tendonitis. How are you able to differentiate one from the other when it comes to diagnoses.
Yeah, so when you're looking at a player like this, you'd be thinking, yeah, this is Achilles tendon, and you know, we'd be worried about the possibility of the Achilles tendon going on to tear. We've heard about that so many times, you know, with players having a sore Achilles and then it eventually tears. But first thing we'd do is what we do with everybody else and do an X-ray. And on the X-ray, you can see how the pressure of the heel bone in this deformity position, where that bone is actually pushing out against the Achilles tendon. So then you may get an MRI scan to look at the tendon to see if, in fact, it's undergone some degeneration and may be on a pre-rupture pathway. But if that's normal, then you're basically saying, yeah, it's the pressure of this bone against the Achilles tendon pushing at it from the inside that's creating the pain.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Eric Berry and Hagelin's deformity on his heel, keeping him out and keeping him on that sideline, at least last weekend for Kansas City. We'll see what happens with him against New England on Sunday. Dr. Doug, what are some steps that Berry and the medical staff can take moving forward to treat this, to get him back and going? And you want to be able to cut and tackle and have power, so it's an issue with any player on the field having this type of situation with your heel.
Yeah, so this is a tough one, too, because, you know, there's a lot of times where we'll be able to temporarily improve a situation that is essentially like an inflammatory scenario, maybe put a cortisone injection in, put people on oral anti-inflammatories or tapering doses of prednisone, rest them in a boot. And so I'm sure they've tried a lot of these things. But one thing that in this situation that's really tough is that we really can't inject that spot with cortisone safely. If we do that, there's a significant risk of getting a Achilles tendon rupture. And so one of the, you know, the big tools in our armamentarium is taken away in a situation like this. So maybe they're going to try a biological anti-inflammatory, which would be platelet-rich plasma injection. That could have happened already in the last couple of weeks while he's been sitting out.
PRP is more and more common. It is something that can help an injury like this and many other injuries. What are the short-term and long-term, I guess, best way to put it, effects, the positive effects, the negative effects? How long can a PRP help this situation with the Hagelin's deformity on a heel? And what's the downside to playing on it when you think it feels okay, but maybe you aren't 100%?
Yeah, so the PRP injections, basically, as I said, they're kind of a biological anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. We take some of the cells out of the blood and we inject them into that area to create an anti-inflammatory effect. It isn't a cure in a situation like this. It's very temporary. Eventually, a surgical intervention to remove that bump of bone needs to happen in order to really get this thing under control. In answer to your second part of your question there about, you know, is it dangerous for him to go out and play if he's not feeling pain, if he's had an MRI scan, which I'm sure he has, and the Achilles tendon looks okay, then there really wouldn't be any significant risk to him going out and playing on the thing if a PRP injection, for instance, was able to get the pain calmed down. This is, for the most part, all about just trying to control the pain so he can perform.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, and we're talking Eric Berry. Safety for the Chiefs, Hagelin's deformity is what he has been dealing with on his heels. And is this something that once you have surgical intervention on it, is it done and good, or is it going to come back? Could it return?
Yeah, this is a done and good deal. It's a growth in the bone that's occurred over the course of his lifetime, and pretty much was there even when he finished growing in adolescence. And so it's not an area where you would expect a regrowth of that bone. So once you get in there and get it out, and get him healed up, good prognosis from that perspective.
What about temperature? It's supposed to be great weather for polar bears on Sunday in Kansas City. Does this have an effect on the feel? I mean, just where the body's at and just the discomfort that's been going on with Eric Berry?
Well, I think most folks would say that players are awfully good at just kind of closing out of their minds the environment they're in. And being able to play in it, it does seem to me that a lot of the little nicks and dings that occur in football seem to be a little worse when it's cold outside. But all in all, they're pretty amazing that they can get out there and get after it in weather like that.
Well, you just notice as you get older, your body, and if you've had some work done, the temperature can affect how you feel, you know, in your body.
Yeah, there's no question that, you seem to feel those injuries a little bit more. Now, maybe that's a little bit later down the line, and maybe your adrenaline is pumping through you quite as much as it used to, Chris.
That's about it. Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. A Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking to Eric Berry. Dr. Doug, enjoy those playoffs this weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, it'll be a great weekend. Thanks, Chris.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time on your Wednesday, Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke, Hale Varsity Radio. Thanks for your time. Good stuff from Ralph Brown, 10-year NFL vet, Husker Hall of Famer, Brandon Vogel. Awesome stuff. We talked a lot of Nebraska, Michigan State. We will be down in the rail yard tomorrow. We want to see you. We're in the public market broadcasting starting at 4 till 6:30 with the Real Red Tip-Off Show. Papa Shot will be down there. There'll be plenty of hydration options. Bring the fam down. Enjoy the hype and the atmosphere ahead of Nebraska and Michigan State. Huge, huge opportunity for Nebraska. Not end-all, be-all if you play well. If you play well enough to win. But, man, it'd be sure cool if they made it happen tomorrow night if you're a Nebraska basketball fan. I'm going to get the text message tomorrow at 3 as I'm setting up. Can I have a parking spot? No, I can't save you a parking spot, dear. Love my wife dearly. High maintenance, yes. And then Junior's going to roll in with that garbage green. Sorry about that. Can't do a thing about it. You let a kid make his choice. Let him lie in that bed. And the story of him being a Spartan fan is actually, who is the guy who played for the Bulls that used to be with Michigan State?
Denzel Valentine.
I always want to say Billy Ray Valentine, but that is from Trading Places. Denzel Valentine was a dear, dear friend to a little girl that had cancer and passed away from cancer. Denzel was profiled on the Big Ten Network's Journey.
I thought it was a big guy. Was his last name Payne, the center? I thought it was the big guy who had the relationship with the little girl.
It might have been Payne. Carson thought it was Valentine. Mm. That's what he pointed to when he was like 4 or 5 years old. He's like, well, I like that guy, what he's doing for that little girl. So that's why he likes Michigan State. It's what he saw about Michigan State. Is that got him going. So it's a good reason to cheer for a team.
Yeah, it was Adrian Payne and the little girl.
Payne, thank you.
But Valentine was on the team at the same time.
He liked Valentine's game. And, and he keeps me updated on, you know, who's doing what in the NBA for Michigan State.
Yeah, Denzel's not doing squat with the Bulls, I could tell you that much.
No, I know. No, the Payne story. Thank you for that. Payne was...
Yeah, no, that was an awesome story.
But that's the birth of him being a Spartan
fan. That's a respectable way to be a Spartan fan.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And better than him being a Seahawks fan, the reason why he's a Seahawks fan, right?
Well, he's a Seahawks fan because his mom likes how Russell Wilson looks. Mm. If mommy likes Russell, then I think Russell's cool, too. whatever, man. You just tell them you love them and send them off. But it'll be good. What I want to do is I want to get Junior down there to take him on and pop a shot. I want to destroy him in his green. And that's going to be good, man. We want to see you down there for the road show Thursday. Hail Varsity on the Road, Public Market, 4 till 6:30. Bo Reed will join us on the show. That'll be big time. We'll have Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, and, yeah, Russ Hochstein signing, former Patriot. So, want to see you down there. Enjoy Nebraska, Michigan State. The build-up, all that's left now is the delivery. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. For Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt, again, thanks to Ralph Brown. Many thanks to Brandon Vogel. You can catch the show on HailVarsity.com. Get to iTunes for the podcast. We'll see you down in the rail yard tomorrow with Hail Varsity.